Chapter 23. It was technically challenging to take out a guy in the front passenger seat while driving at 80 miles an hour. It required simultaneous movement and stillness. The driver's foot had to stay steady on the pedal, which meant his legs had to stay still. His torso had to stay still. Above all, his left shoulder had to stay still. Only his right arm could move, which would dictate a backhand scythe to the passenger's head. But it would be a relatively weak blow. It would be easy enough to fake a lazy crossbody scratch of the left shoulder and then launch the right fist through a long half-circle like a backward right hook, but the top edge of the Chevy's dash roll was fairly high, and the bottom edge of its mirror was fairly low, so the swing would have to be carefully aimed through the available gap, and then it would have to be kicked upward for the last part of its travel. And Reacher's arms were long, which meant he would have to keep his elbow tucked in to stop his knuckles fouling against the windshield glass, which would dictate an upward kick and a snap of the elbow in the final inches, which together would be very hard to calibrate in order to avoid an action and reaction jerk to the left shoulder. And any movement of the left shoulder would be a very bad idea at that point. A minor slalom at 80 miles an hour on a straight wide road would be easily recoverable in theory. But there was no point in announcing hostile intent and then spending the next 5 seconds with both hands on the wheel fighting a skid. That would give the initiative straight back to the passenger, no question about it. So all in all, it would be better to settle for a light tap, not a heavy blow. Which meant the exact choice of target would be important. Which meant the larynx would come top of the list. An open hand held horizontally like a karate chop, and a light smack on the throat. That would get the job done. Disabling, but not fatal. Except that Alan King was asleep, with his face turned away and his chin tucked down to his chest. His throat was concealed. He would have to be woken up first. Maybe a poke in the shoulder. He would straighten up, he would face forward, he would blink and yawn and stare. Easy enough. Poke, scratch, swing, pop. Technically challenging, but entirely possible. Alan King could be handled. But Don McQueen couldn't. Science had never found a way to take out a guy sitting directly behind a driver. Not while that driver was doing 80 miles an hour. No way. Just not feasible. No kind of four-dimensional planning could achieve it. Reacher drove on, at 80 miles an hour. He checked the mirror. No traffic behind him. McQueen was asleep. He checked again a minute later. Delfuenzo was staring at him. He learned the road a mile ahead and looked back in the mirror. He nodded, as if to say, "Go ahead, begin transmission." She began. Forward 9. I. Forward 8, forward 1, back 5, forward 5. HAVE, have. Forward 1, A. Forward 3, forward 8, forward 9, forward 12, forward 4. CHILD, child. I have a child. Reacher nodded and lifted the small stuffed animal out of the center console as if to say, "I understand." The toy's fur was stiff with dried saliva. Its shape was distorted by the clamp of a tiny jaw. He put it back. Delfuenzo's eyes filled with tears, and she turned her head away. Reacher leaned over and poked Alan King in the shoulder. King stirred and woke up and straightened and faced forward and blinked and yawned and stared. He said, "What?" Reacher said, "The gas gauge is through the first little bit. I need you to tell me when to stop." The deputy came back from the convenience store and told Goodman there were no bloody coats or knives in the trash cans. Sorensen called the head technician back from the Mazda again and said,
"I need to know about the victim."
"Can't help you there," the guy said. "There was no ID and the autopsy won't be until tomorrow."
"I need your impressions."
"I'm a scientist. I was out sick the day they taught clairvoyance 101.
"You could make some educated guesses."
"What's the hurry?"
"I'm getting hassled through two separate back channels."
"Oh."
"First the State Department, and now the CIA."
"They're not separate. The State Department is the political wing of the CIA.
"And we're the FBI. And we're the good guys here, and we can't afford to look slow or incompetent, or unimaginative. So I'd like some impressions from you, or informed opinion, or whatever else they taught you to call it in Cover Your Ass 101.
What kind of informed opinion?
Age?
40-something, possibly, the guy said.
Nationality?
He was American, probably, the guy said.
Because?
His dentistry looks American. His clothing is mostly American.
Mostly?
I think his shirt is foreign, but his underwear is American, and most people stick to underwear from their country of origin.
Do they?
As a general rule, it's a comfort issue, literally and metaphorically, and an intimacy issue. It's a big step putting on foreign underwear, like betrayal or immigration.
That's science?
Psychology is a science.
Where's the shirt from?
Hard to say. There's no label in it.
But it looks foreign?
Well, basically all cotton clothing is foreign now. Almost all of it comes from somewhere in Asia, but quality and cut and color and pattern all tend to be market-specific.
Which market?
The fabric is thin, the color is cream rather than white, the collar points are long and narrow, the design of the checks is purely graphic rather than imitative of a traditional weave. I would say the shirt was bought in Pakistan or possibly the Middle East.